Hello, thank you for being here with us here on New Life, the series of educational programs with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello. Hello, Yael. Yael is here with us for the first time on New Life. She is a professional advisor in special businesses and so forth, and she's going to be with us. We want to open a new field here. Weaker societies in Polish, and I'm going to share some of them with everyone, with our viewers. You know, once in a while I have bad dreams that can come to me at night, and they can come to me also not at night, meaning in the middle of the day. Such thoughts, whereas in these thoughts I'm going to be 40 soon, and I'm a father for four children. And constantly fears and anxiety arise in me that something will change the way of my life. And these fears are usually, if I thought about it in the beginning of the program, they can come from two different directions. It can come from a place of that all of a sudden something will happen, that I won't have all of a sudden employment, that will change drastically how I supply and earn for my family, for me and my wife and my children, and something else that might limit my abilities as a human being in general. And this place of being all of a sudden weak, as I'm feeling a weakness for four children, is really difficult. Because, you know, usually if they come, I don't have any realistic reason to think this. I'm not sick or about to lose my employment. But when it comes, it's strong. And it's really pressing and stressing. And the topic of our first discussion on the weak layers in society is really... Yael, please open up. You're an expert on this field. How can we start dealing with this place that's so stressful? So let's talk, first of all, what are these weak layers in society? Like Oren spoke about, there are two different areas in this. One is the financial thing, when someone has fell into a situation that is financially really difficult. And the second thing is that someone is either health-wise or emotional or intellectually, or he's born into this issue. When we talk about weak layers in society, we're talking about also areas that have to do with addictions, with violence, with elderly, used to be today places, and also homes in Israel where a woman who is called weak sometimes. And I work with such populations. It's not an easy thing. There's something that's been associated with this society with for a long time, for many, many years. And there's a certain stigma, which is very negative as upon them as human beings. Their actual place as weak makes them truly as a disaster in life. They start their life in a certain state that is much lower than all the rest of us. I also work with those that fell to such a state. They were healthy before that, were strong, worked in good jobs, amazing families, and through either bad divorces or an accident, in a moment, or any other things in life, all of a sudden they fall into this category, and there's this move from strong to weak, which is not an easy thing to engage in life. Before we even enter into this state, this potential lives in every one of us. In the sensation where, oh, we're in the middle class and we're in a strong, stable state. Today we know that this is a very fragile situation. What Oren experiences, I experience the same thing, that, oh, well, what if something happens to me or something happens to my husband? It truly could cause a complete revolution in my life, and this thing is not changing. A person from within truly inverts and becomes something totally different. It's something that can happen to him and to his environment. It's a big, broad aspect of things that happens on this topic. And when we try to scrutinize what is this weak person, we have to look at life. Many times we're up, we're down, and depending on different things, and we don't relate to it into a way that all of a sudden we can come to a state of weakness. We relate to it a very big drama, not as something natural like the other changes in our lives. And there's a lot of problematics in this concept of being weak. If I'm for example, if I'm an old person, am I strong or weak? I have so much experience, there's so much knowledge that a young person doesn't have, but still I'm considered weak. If I'm handicapped in some way, and I have money and all that, am I considered strong or weak? There are many things. If I'm supported by my family, and it also causes a situation of whether I'm weak. You could say that it's more of an inner state. So that's exactly what I would ask. What is your definition of weak in society? So it's probably a psychological definition of a person upon himself. The person himself says about himself. It could be that everything's okay with him, and relatively he has a salary or income. But he just feels himself constantly to given to this drastic, sudden change. It could be that he has a good state of health, but he has fears and anxieties about health, his health, health state. It could be for anything. I think it's more associated with the sensation a person has, the feelings. There are people that feel themselves like everything's fine, and no matter what happens, everything's okay. And there's people that have everything, but from morning to night, they're in fear and anxiety, and the rich people especially are also in this. So I don't think that here there needs to be a treatment for a person, but the treatment still has to needs to place a person and to teach, to relate to what he has in a good, right, optimistic way. It's to move his observation to a dangerous state and drop people into certain phobias or anxiety that can, but move him to something that will give him a sensation of stability and fulfillment that's in life. I don't think that all in all are in a multitude of ways so much better than everyone lived 100 years or 200 years ago, and yet people still lived. A person who had what to eat today and maybe for tomorrow thought about himself that he's okay, that everything is cascading fine. How much, whatever people earned during the day, then they had what to eat that day. And if they didn't, then they didn't have what to eat that day. And that's how people lived, you know, even 100 years ago. So today, someone's thinking throughout the day about himself and his family and is living in great anxiety and in despair and truly a lack of confidence. Therefore, it seems to me that this problem is, first of all, a psychological problem, that we measure ourselves compared to the society, compared to certain norms. And this actually is the great salvation, that it could be that if we were to define for the society that each has a certain confidence or security that is necessary, a minimal necessity, or necessary, rational, then, and it was acceptable in society that each and everyone should have that, then we would clean completely this problem from society. For if it would be acceptable in society that even if you nevertheless fall, you have what to maintain yourself with, and you can continue. And it's in such a way where, at least, you know, nevertheless, you are supported by programs of the Labor Department and Social Security and other funds. So I think the problem is a problem that probably we are not engaged in it enough in order to give a person the feeling of social support. Still, you're describing the state of his fear as a weak state. When he's afraid, he is afraid of the state he might fall to. The fear doesn't bother him. Wait. He's afraid to fall, meaning he's already living supposedly in the future where he's falling. He's already living in that state, and what will be then? And it could be that he will never fall to that state, but he'll live with that fear all his life, completely. There's even studies that show that the fear from the state also invites the state. Invites, that's one story, but the health phenomena that occur when you're afraid of something, it comes in practicality and it happens to you truly. But it's interesting for me to know how he perceives that. He perceives himself right now in his fears. He lives in a good house, he's got a garden, he's got he goes to work and everything like that, and the fear itself can also, he can contain it, and it's okay. He's afraid of that state that he's going to fall, of becoming weak in our society. That's his big fear. What is weakness, actually? When we look at weakness, we see weakness only as a financial thing. Well, first of all, yeah, financial or health-wise. But the question is, let's stand here and think. It could be a rich person. Also, yes. To a person who has a good profession, a desirable profession. Meaning it's not necessarily dependent on some, let's say, an artist, a photographer, a musician, that all of a sudden they don't need him, and he doesn't have anything else in his hands. We're talking about a person that, actually, with the means, with a good profession, and everything is okay. It's meaning it's not dependent, I just want us to nevertheless summarize, it's not dependent on the standing of a person, or on his profession, or in his social standings, or it's simply such a sensation that he feels his future, or senses his future, as a deteriorating state in potential. And like you said, the standing that he imagines to himself is much worse than what's going on truly. Well, from fears and phobias, we know that always the pictures are always worse than what's going on. The question is as such. Does he not have here an inner claim for the society that he's in, that must supply to him, like to a friend? For after all, he's still in a certain society, in a country, he belongs to a nation, to systems of financial systems, social systems, and so on. Does it not say that we simply are not giving a person the confidence, the security? Are we not supplying him with the sensation that he is associated, belonging to a certain nation, to a certain mass of people that that necessarily are concerned for each other? Just like we're concerned that by paying the municipality that they take out, why are we not concerned here also, that if something happens, that the society has to come and to care for it, for a person. Also towards security. the fact that people live amongst us, and it's probably many people that are sensing such sensations, a lack of confidence, a lack of security, it's probably a social problem, first of all. That's what it seems to me. Is there a difference, in your opinion, between the fear of being weak financially and the fear of being weak health-wise? No, it's not important. He foresees the bad future, and it could be for a thousand reasons. Only he feels himself that he won't be able or capable to overcome the future state that could come any single moment or is future to come. Just like a person who's getting older. And he's thinking, what will happen to him? Who will care for him? When I won't be able to get up out of bed? When I won't be able to take care of myself? And so on. There's people that are willing to commit suicide just not to enter into such weaknesses. It seems to them like something that is impossible to survive in such states. And nevertheless, we see that no matter what, somehow there are services that are suitable that help them. Meaning the fear here, I think, is a social problem. As the society lets such people feel that really there isn't any concern for the difficult, grave states that a person might fall upon. And really, how did we come to a state that we as a society relate to, let's say, an old person as weak? Don't ask me that. Actually, this is the society. But the problem we see that, yes, if he worked all his life and paid taxes and paid into his pension and social security and paid for his health care and participated in all the social life, whatever was needed throughout his life, specifically whatever was demanded of him, and when I went to the military, was a veteran and protected the country, and why should he be in lack of security or confidence in the days of his weakness? How could that possibly be, such a situation? That he would have... He needs to feel on the contrary. He needs to go out on pension and live like a king, that all that he's invested throughout his life for the society, he is rewarded by being able to live his life in dignity with a great thing, and not some kind of support from some people that he won't be able to supply because he can't supply himself his basic bodily needs, because he won't be able to take care of his body, and also as to money and health, and we need to supply all those things. But if not that way, then probably our systems are truly dysfunctional. It's beyond the systems. I think that also our perception as people, beyond this neglect to the people that have built all their lives and don't have what they need for life. Even our perception as people, even though it wants something very respectable to be something old, I think not too long ago, when did we stop learning it from America or Europe, even a few dozen years ago, until the 50s of the previous century, it was more or less a respectable person, and he had a place, and he was secure in what's happening with him, and there was a certain sensation of obligation from the society or from the country. And now we forgot that we came down to a situation where we don't have such a sensation. Why is there such a sensation that they're weak and that we need to support them, and it makes them into something that is not respectable? It's not. He's like a second-rate citizen. And their sensation is later as such, that this is something that's really not perceivable as far as the social process that we go through. Meaning we're throwing them for them to get along. There aren't any systems that are truly caring for them, and that the society feels obligated towards. I want to go back to the concept of the perception of weak. It seems to us that if you feel that you're weak, you're, I don't know, blind or deaf or something like that, but if you're rich, you're not considered weak. But if you're limited and you're weak, then you're not good. Meaning there's also a financial situation and also a different deficiency or limitation. What's more powerful, the money or the health in one's perception of his thing? Well, in our society, money can basically cover just about anything in our society. Sadly, it doesn't really hold us. No destiny or social relationships that are special and good. Rather, a person can buy with money things. I understand this and feel this. But meaning being limited in any ways, it's not so difficult for a person to be able to buy services from people. But a lack of means is always much worse. It's clear that even a healthy person, if he's living with restriction, then he feels himself somehow handicapped. I would like to ask to stop here and try to, before we continue onwards, to dive deeper into what a person is feeling. What we talked about so far, the interim summary that I have, is that the fear of being weak is not necessarily dependent on some facts or objective things. It could be a very big variety of situations or states and different types of people. Now, I want to disconnect from all the different states and the causes that awaken it. I want to just focus on the fear from being weak. When a specific person, doesn't matter why, enters into an emotional state that you called anxiety, what exactly is going through me in such moments? What exactly conquers me from within? What's going on inside of me? When you feel yourself in a lack of ability to implement, realize your needs, your desires, the necessary ones, actually. You're not now going and to travel around the world, that you're like old or of some kind of ailment physically or limitations that demand specific services for your service. But rather, you're feeling yourself limited in such a way that truly you're not capable of covering your basic necessities that are needed for your life. I mean, this is what's going on to me. I'm afraid that life is going to bring me to a state in which I won't be able to cover my basic necessities of mine or in my family, for the sake of this story, and that the things that I need in order to exist, I won't be able to attain them. So what am I worrying about? Is my existence. So the fear of being weak is an existential fear. Yes. Okay, so in my eyes, it's a fear that is healthy. You described it earlier as a psychological state, that even before you said it could be that a person is like very rich and he has these fears that all of a sudden something will happen from his high state that he'll become weak all of a sudden. It seems to me, and why do I want to stand here on the existential fear? Because to exist is a basic thing that everyone has. So the aspiration to exist and to succeed is something most natural in a person. And weak, who is weak? Weak is a person that can't exist on his own abilities. What is this place that's called weak? After all, there were always weak and strong throughout history. Strong and weak, smart and not. No, the fears are that that I won't have the strength of either myself or assisting powers around me that will help me exist in a way that I see as necessary. By the way, I want to continue, and we talked about Israel. I have actually most of my relatives live in Canada, and also my parents. My father passed away there, and may rest in peace. And my mother is still there, and they lived in a special home, a multi-story home where all the rich and poor Jews and the poor would get a free apartment there. There was always a nurse on the bottom. They do like all kinds of holidays there. They clean all their apartments. It's a two-room apartment for two older people. They lived like that for many years, until my father passed away and my mother moved into a true kind of assisted living place. And there it's the same thing, also there. Actually, the country, the state pays, and certain Jewish organizations continue, and we add as children every month. But the service is simply a dream, truly a dream. They give them concerts there and games, and they take them out to the lawn. And these are people that are very old where she is right now. And she herself is over 90 years old. And therefore, I want to say that it's a problem. It's a problem that here we didn't build such a system for all the people. That a person in the days of his weakness deserves this. A society can, all in all, build these things, these services. The process is opposite. That what was bad, what was good before, is becoming bad. And we're starting to think that such a thing is not something that we even deserve, that someone will give us some kind of net of security so I'll be okay. And that I know that it, and no matter what, I have this foundation that will help me exist. The problem is, what happens if I fall from a very, very high place? That's if I'm rich and I fall from a place. Is it enough for me? If I fall from great heights to a lower place, and you give me this existential thing, is it enough for me? Or is there a meaning to the gap also? No, I don't think so. I think that the sensation that for the regular, simple life, I won't ever lack in a society will give me that and protect me. This cares for my security. Because we're talking about the days of weakness of a person, where he doesn't need more. He needs just to know that they'll care for me for health and for food and someplace, so I will finish my life in a way that I won't suffer. That's at an old age, but at a younger age. Just like I said, let's say I have three children today, and I want to enable them also a certain continuance and to give them things. Well, those are completely different systems. We are not concerned with that. I think that altogether we're in a very big transition in history, and that we need to move to a new social order. And just as you are engaged in employment, probably, right? In professional things. So we see that there's a big change in work, in the relation to work, and people that go out of the workforce, that lose their profession, and they don't have where to put them yet. Maybe in Israel it's not a problem yet. It's also a problem. Yeah, meaning it already started to be a problem too. that there's simply no work. And there's still work, but at a certain age, you're in a problem. Today, at a certain age, you're in a big problem. But for the young people, there still is. There's still something. Yes. Because we're progressing, nevertheless, with all our automation and with the machines and these automatic robots, and we're advancing to a state where there, many people will go out of the workforce, and therefore also our buying force drops, and this becomes a certain circle that we cannot stop. And this is what we come to. Whether we want or not, this is our kind of future. So we need to care here that the society will simply start to define to itself new laws. That those people that are going out and are, let's say we're talking about the unemployed, then you're saying that the young people still have work. In Europe, actually, for the young people, there is no work. This is what's interesting. They're till about 40 to 50% or even 60% in Greece, where there's no work. In Spain, it's 40. And with us, it's still the other way around. But both here and there, we need to see the trend that we will see a society in which up to 50% or even more and more people will not have a place. They won't have a workplace. That even if they're going to be ready for any sort of work, for any kind of earnings, and we, from the fear of the big shaking and problems, we have to be concerned with a new state where we need to decide for people, to define for people a certain rational level of existence that will be for everyone. And accordingly, to plan taxes and income of the state and everything that we have in a different way, so that each and every one that does not work receives a certain income security, and enough, which is enough to live at least in a minimal wage level. He may also have to raise it, but normally. I don't think that we will have a choice. We will have to relate in such a way to our life. Today, our state is as such that even those that are working, meaning today, work is not some kind of security certificate that will give you things. I mean, there's people that are working and they're engaged in a job, but with a very low income. Meaning, we have in our society people who are so weak, because, and it's not necessarily associated with work or the employment issue, but the feeling that they're working, they're doing all that a normal person does. They work, they do everything, but nevertheless, they're considered weak and they can't manage to rise. And they even become a burden on society, meaning because the society needs to support them. And it's really a place where you're simply in great despair, because it's not just that you're saying, okay, I'll try 1, 2, 3, 4 and things will change. Even when I do that, nothing changes, meaning I'm stuck in a situation, in a placement where it's really bad for me as a human being. And really, the question is, how does this state of despair, how does this place of despair influence me on the state that's like I have no, it's like a dead-end place? This is what causes a person to stop seeing life in a broad manner. He is always closed within his problem. He can't think of anything else. He doesn't have any joy of life. He simply curses his life. he is so pressured, so deteriorated and lowered, and it influences all of society on the health, and because life is simply not worthwhile. And we see that half of the society lives this way. If we see that it's the end of life, then it also gives the whole young generation a total different look on life. In this, we're truly like shooting ourselves in the foot. Explain, I didn't understand. What does it mean, the end of the life for the young generation? I understood that if a person is in such a state of despair, then it really limits him, and he sees his whole life as screwed up, and he can't advance. But other than that, you said also, I didn't understand, next, what about the young generation? The young generation that is looking at life, what can he also fall to? It's if, God forbid, something will happen along the way, at the end, but definitely at the end of life, that he'll see the end of his life for older people. But so he already receives from this a different attitude towards life. And they don't already relate to each other in an open way. It already becomes, the whole society becomes more rigid. It becomes a battle between wolves. It's an unhealthy state for human society in general if we relate in such a way to our elderly. It once was in ancient Greece. That's how people with health issues or things like that. But in no other modern society, let's say within the last 2,000 years, there was never such a cruel relation to the elderly like it started to develop again. So why is it happening? We've lost all the norms that we even had. We've lost the concept of family, the connection between the generations. We have no connection with our parents, and ever less to the generations before that. Grandpa and grandma, who are they at all? It's something that maybe exists there. I don't even know who they are, barely. We are in a crisis in family, and well, there's divorce and parents, children issues, and so on. And especially we're experiencing the crisis between the intergenerational relations. With the previous generation was, well, this is a whole other topic. Well, the previous generation was a generation that got everything from, it would develop from those streams, from that relation to nature and society, just like it was also that throughout the last 200, 300 years. People read books, people were nourished from the environment. Now we are nourished from the television and even more from the internet. It works out for us that it basically disconnects us from the environment that once was the only source of my life, of my reception of life. I enter into everything through the screen. I enter into contact with the world through electronics, through virtual connections, and not through personal contact between people. What's the difference? Through the screen, I see people. No, you don't see people. You see images, and you don't see people. And you see images that want to be shown to you. and not that you meet as neighbors or in the street, at work, at home, that you're together with in all kinds of strolls in the city. You're going out to the street, your children are going out to play outside in the yard with the friends. No, that's not there anymore. We all of a sudden have entered, we don't digest it yet, but we have entered into a perception of world which is completely different. And this new perception, how did the definition of being weak and the fear of being weak change? What did it do to us? First of all, I feel like I'm dependent only on myself. I must supply everything to myself. I don't feel the environment, and I don't care about the environment. I also exchange the environment real quick. I go overseas, I move from country to country. I don't care what bank account I have in the world. I have a card. So it sounds like you become stronger, not weaker. No, it's as if. But these things can fall from moment to moment, and then I have nothing to rely upon. Where are my friends? Where are my parents? Where are my children? It's like the connection disappears. More and more it's disappearing. The connection between who and who? Between the generations, between people. The personal, bodily connection, where we feel ourselves as together. I wanted to describe to you a certain picture. My late grandfather, I was very close to him personally. He passed away in 95. He came to Israel from Yemen in a very young age. I think he was about 20, in his 20s. He came to Israel. My father was already born here in Israel. They settled in Emet Hefer. I think for maybe half a day he would engage in all kinds of agriculture, farming, and the second half of the day he would sit and read and learn Torah. That was his life order. He had lived like that. He had seven children. They grew up. They studied in good educational institutes, and each developed a certain career, a profession, and so on. Now I want to imagine the rest of his life. Was he fearful of being weak, and so on? I imagine that when he was young, and he moved from country to country, and had to worry about providing for his seven children, he had certain existential problems. But later, as a grandson, knowing him at the end of his life, after he had barely had the strength to go out to work on the farm and do all that, I remember him already in the last third of his life. I didn't notice that he had any existential worries. He was living in Eden. Why? Because he, like I said, he has a tribe, but he can't get up out of bed. What's besides him? He's got beside him a bag of gold. No, that doesn't help him because he has nothing to do with it. He needs someone who can care for him, someone to be with him. And he was surrounded with people and warmth to the last moment of his life. I look at him and I think a king didn't live so good, even though his body was sick and so on. He can't do anything for himself. There is around him all the children, the grandchildren, the family that he is the fancy part of it, the exalted part in it. Now, in relation to a young person in our society today, if there's someone here in the city who got old, so if he has in the bank account, so he worked out with some Filipino assistant, and if not, you can look in the newspaper, oh, died from cold, she didn't have money for heating in their home. You know, people who survived the Holocaust and such thing, who live 1,000 light years away. So now I'm asking, what happened to him in the change? What happened to us in this change, that the disconnect in the generations? How is this influencing this reality of the reality of the old people in life? Because my grandfather was one of the strongest person in the world, most respectable. It was like at the head of the pyramid. So what happened to us when we moved from the connection between people and the connection between screens? How did it cause this change? Do you understand my question? Yes, but you're answering it. What can I add? Because we lost the connection between people. when there was a natural connection. What you're telling me, what a big family, like a big gang of a family, a few families, a whole village. That's something that, there's nothing better. There's nothing better than that. That's how we used to live, all of humanity, through generations and generations, for thousands of years. The moment the new period, the new era started, we entered into the new social relations, where instead of family, I enter into society relations. It's not family. The family can be a village. It can be, it doesn't matter what. It's that there's a natural connection. Children, relatives, those with those, they're married to them, and so on. That's a totally different connection. We are now in a state in which we have no connection, where we're called parents and children and brothers and sisters. What does it mean that we don't have a connection? We don't have a connection like it used to be. Because our ego grew, each of us became more egotistical, it stops feeling the others. It stops feeling. Children are not dependent on their parents, they're dependent on the parents, but they don't feel that dependency, they only feel the dependency for one thing, yes? Open your pocket and shut your mouth. That's how I heard the relations of children to parents. A simple condition. Also, it didn't used to be that way. So how can we, in the end, what can we do? We need to see how we can complete, make up all those flaws which are being revealed in the environment, because without that we can't survive. If the environment will continue to deteriorate in such a way, there will be individuals that won't feel not just the connection between parents and children, and not between spouses, and not between people in general, but rather each connects if he wants to connect to someone for something. And that's how it all ends. And each lives inside his little niche. And really, who will help him to deal with his days of weakness? We'll make some kind of machines that will serve the old people. We completely are coming to a state that there will be connections between people cut, totally displaced. No one will feel that he has a connection with anyone through the TV screen, through the internet screen, and just like that, through something electronical, some kind of transactions, and that's it. What does this lead us to? This leads us to the recognition of evil, and we must deal with that. The more we understand that we must have connection, love, unity, mutual guarantee, then we will be able to go through this recognition of evil in a good and smooth way, and before the big blow start that we're already starting to all feel, we will be able to already deal with it and to bring the medicine before the ailment. I don't see any other reason. But it's clear that we won't have a choice, but rather human beings will have to do the calculation, what the problem is, and what the remedy is. No machine will be able to make up that lack of relations there are between person to person. And then what to do? We are in such a development that I feel on my own, that I'm disconnected from my parents. Well, what can I do? And my children are even more disconnected from me. And also today, it's not needed. It's happening already reciprocally, in a mutual way. But with the children, it's more clear, because their eyes are forward towards life. It's like I'm looking behind them, where they're going. Where are they running to? But they themselves, if I gave them all they need to succeed in life, they really don't need me anymore. That's the trend in life. That's how it needs to be. That's how it's supposed to be. And the natural connection that was there before, it really doesn't work because the ego is so burning in each and every one that they're not even aware that they need to pay attention to something, to me in some way. The education is not going to work here. You can do 1,000 hours of family education in schools and all kinds of different organizations, and it won't work. It's simply not there. It's not there in human nature. Education is good if there isn't him certain inclinations that you're going and organizing them and creating a certain systematic connection between these inclinations and those. But here there are no inclinations whatsoever in relation to parents. So you can't keep education. You understand? If there is a system of connection between parents and children and grandpa and grandma and so on, and this isn't that good, so you can care for it and give it a certain correction. But if there's no connection at all, truly like that, because we're progressing to something, then that's how it is. You see, they want to go out of their home. Or at age 15, they want to leave home, or they're living at their parents' home till they're 50. Depends on what's worthwhile for them. It's not because they love or don't love. When you're talking about there's no connection between the generations, what about the connection between people in general? Today, the whole technological development also there's no connection. If it's up to me, as a regular human being, where today is there the love of the nation, the love of my motherland, all those kinds of things? No, where is that? Money, and that's it. If not security, then we wouldn't feel ourselves as associated or belonging to a certain nation, if not necessarily general anti-Semitism. Of course we wouldn't feel that we're close somehow, that we have a common problem. What does this say about our anxieties and our fears to be weak? And on the definition of being weak in this state, when there's a weakening bond between people, between generations, between things and all that's going on, and I'm looking future and I'm seeing a state in which truly they will dissipate completely and won't be, what does it say about the definition of a weak person? Who is a weak person in such a reality? Everyone. Everyone. Can you manage a country or a state that in which the citizens don't feel as a nation? Can you manage some social movement if there's no society, no connection? Upon what background? You can beat someone up so they unite into parties. But a good connection between people, there is no such thing. Give me a connection between people which comes from the side of good, like the family once a long time ago. Army, because of an enemy, a party, only to get into being in rule, and to beat each other up. And there are no good connections. So the quantity of your good connections define you as strong or weak? Yes, and that's why we're all weak. Why is this the condition? Because all in all, I unite only in order to be stronger from fear. Out of fear. I'm constantly in a defensive state. I don't have a good attitude towards life, to enjoy together, to create together, to establish together, to make a certain creation, something that is good for everyone. No? Good for everyone? That the state must do. The government must do. We ourselves don't connect. Hey, once in a while, if there's no choice, we do some school or, how do they call it, some private school, kindergarten also. It's not so sure. That's in a good situation. where nevertheless, well, children, it hurts us that it's not there. But more than that, how are we connecting? Can you today take people out to the street to clean the yards, to clean the gardens, to do something? You don't know who lives next to you. In such a reality, that as you define the quantity of good connections between people, in a person, define someone as being weak or strong. How do you suggest that we should deal the best way with the fear that tomorrow I might be weak? You will be weak until you will feel yourself like your grandfather. Very simply, he felt himself strong, I think the most in the world. Well, until you come to his state. But what, past the tunnel of time backwards? But you said that even if there was a bag of gold next to him, they wouldn't help either. So what do you want for that to happen? I don't know. Well, so you'll invest your money in the bank, you'll buy a Filipino helpers and the car and everything, but that's what it'll be. And your sons will also come to see when you're going to finally leave something for them. An apartment, and maybe something in the bank. Maybe they'll come to take care of you a little bit so that you will fill out something, some will. It sounds very bad. Why? It sounds normal. Very bad. No, why? Just as the relations are today. That's how it is. What's the problem? Until you correct the social general state. What we're going through today, we're going through the period of recognition of evil in the relations between us, between all human beings. It's not just between parents and children, between all people, because we're talking about the society. We started talking here about the social society, about fears and anxieties, lack of with despair that I might become weak. Yes? So we need to understand that this we can correct only through the attitude of people, the relations between people. And then a person can feel himself as living like your grandfather. I don't care about anything and I don't lack a thing. And no matter what, everything is, I'm laying on the clouds. I understood from what you're saying now that this anxiety, this fear of being weak is not just happening to us. It's from nature so that we will correct the corrections between us. As a result of this disconnect that happens between us, and this anxiety goes and grows because I don't have who to lean on, all in all, because I don't have someone who will take me out of this state and give me any kind of lack of burden. And why can't the country or the government do anything about it? The state cannot, by law, define that, oh, it should be good for others. The government or the country can't do anything that has to do with the relations between people. The society, the government can't deal with education. It gives scholarship of materials, knowledge. What is education under your definition? Education is to build a human being in him. What is to be a human being? A human being, it's to be similar to the upper image. I don't know, something that you could say about it, that it's a human and not some kind of prehistoric man or an animal. The society needs to take upon itself and to build the systems in which it will care for each and every one, the children and parents, doesn't matter what, until we will come to a state in which there's such a connection between us, like you're describing for us, the state that was there in your big family. This discussion is about to finish. We'll move the rest to the next discussion. I would like to ask in one sentence, if we were, let's depict an imaginary thing. If we were to strengthen the warmth and the connection between us, let's say we were doing intensive work on really building connections and a good relationship between people. 10 years from now, after such intensive work, social work, what fear of being weak would happen? What would be called weak then? I think that if we could care for the society through all the TV, the media, the internet, all the different forms of communication, within 6 months, even less, we would feel a social change for the good in a wondrous manner, truly. We would feel that we're one family. And where's the weakness? There's no weakness. One family, no one feels weakness. One completes the other. Our time is over. One family doesn't feel weakness. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you, too, for being with us. One family, new life. All the best.